نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 15th session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajarat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith by Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Tonight, we're going to enter into the second part of the book, yani al-Fasl al-Thani, the second section of the book, which after, yani the first section dealt thoroughly with the comprehensive definition of Iman and the proofs and evidences for it from the Quran and Sunnah. This section actually deals with the matters or the affairs or the elements, the things which are the means of achieving Iman, of increasing Iman, of strengthening Iman, and everything surrounding that. So, before we enter our topic for tonight, we're going to look quickly review of some of the topics we discussed last week from the question and study guide number 14. The first question being mentioned, the saying of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, describing the dhikr of Allah as Iman. Saying of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, where he describes the dhikr of Allah, yani the remembering and the praising of Allah, he describes it as Iman. So, and it's reported authentically with an isnad that's sahih by Ibn Abi Shayba, rahimahullah, yani concerning Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, that he would say to a man from amongst his brothers, yani from amongst his companions, he would say to them, Ijlis bina fal nu'min sa'atan. Ijlis bina, sit, let us sit with us, and yani engage in Iman for a period of time. And then they would sit. And they would engage in the dhikr of Allah, in praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this report, this athar from Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, is a reminder to us of the importance of engaging one another in those things that involve Iman, increasing Iman. Second question, discuss briefly what is intended by the following three terms, ilm al-yaqeen, ayn al-yaqeen, al-haq al-yaqeen. And we didn't discuss this in great detail, but in any case, we said that ilm al-yaqeen is the certainty, the level of certainty that is achieved by knowledge, by reading, learning, listening, and being informed of something, information coming to you, then a certain level of certainty is achieved by that. Ayn al-yaqeen, we said that this is, yani, al-mu'ayyana, or mushahida, that a person witnessed, that they see with their own eyes, that thing, that they see it. And we said that haqq al-yaqeen is, yani, that a person comes in contact with something, that they actually experience it, that they taste it. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah gave the example from the worldly things of honey, that a person is informed about it and its descriptions and qualities. And then a person might actually see the honey, yani, seeing it, yani, witnessing it with their own eyes. And then a person would, yani, experience it by tasting it. Question number three, discuss the response of Ibrahim alayhi salam when Allah said to him, do you not believe? Yani in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 260th ayah, when Allah mentions the saying of Ibrahim, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhi al-mawta, qala awalam tu'min. Yani Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show me how you give life to the dead. And Allah said, is it that you don't believe? Naam.
And Ibrahim responded, I do believe, but you know, to have certainty in my heart, you know, and to strengthen my belief and to see how you
to witness it, to see it now. Yani to see it. Yani Ibrahim alayhi salam He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you not believe? He said, Bala, walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. Naam, I believe. But this is so what? Liyatma'inna qalbi. So my heart will be at rest. The scholars of tafsir said it means, liyazdad imani. That the meaning of it is, he said, so that my iman might increase. That it would take it to another level. And what he was requesting is to see the actual process. And this is, yani, the level of a greater level, a stronger yaqeen, yani, ayn al-yaqeen. The fourth question summarizes the four primary asbab, or causes of ziyadat al-iman mentioned by Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah in Hamawiyyah. So, yani, we discussed this at the end of the class last week, and we mentioned those, the four things that are cause, main four things that he mentions as the main causes of increase of iman, and then the main things that are causes of decrease of iman. And then we went back after listing those things, yani, and discussed it in a little bit of detail. So, the four things that he mentioned as the main causes of increase of iman, without the discussion of the details, are
knowing the names of Allah.
Naam. Naam. Reflecting on the ayat of Allah. Yani, al-qawniya wa shara'iyya. Yani, the ayat of Allah in the creation, the ayat of Allah in the revelation. Naam.
Qasim.
Doing acts of obedience. Who's in the back there?
Sadiq.
Naam, Sadiq.
Abandoning acts of disobedience.
Abandoning acts of disobedience. And of course, and there was some discussion with each one of these that we went back and looked at. But for the sake of time, it will suffice with that. The next question, mention the three things to be considered as it relates to acts of obedience that cause increase of iman. In terms of acts of obedience, what are the three things that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that a person should consider? Naam.
Allah and the love and admiration and honoring of Allah.
Yani, he said this, yani, actually this was the
explanation of
yani, the increase of iman in Allah and love for Allah and ta'zeem of Allah, yani, from yani, witnessing, looking at, considering, contemplating the ayat of Allah. But concerning the acts of obedience, he said three things that a person should consider. Husnu al-amal, yani, doing the deed well. And then he said, al-jins, yani the type of deeds, because some deeds are better than other deeds, or more stressed, or emphasized than other deeds. And then he said, kathratu, yani the amount, or the plentifulness of which, in which a person does a deed. Yani these are three things that should be considered, that a person should look to how well they do the deed. And he said, doing the deed well, it means doing it with al-ikhlas and al-mutaba, that you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next question summarized, question number six, summarized the four primary asbab, causes of naqs, or decrease of iman mentioned by Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah. We said that these four causes are the opposite of the four causes of increase of iman. So the first of them would be being ignorant of the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. Because the first one we said is what? Ma'rifah, having knowledge of Allah's asma wa sifat. So the first cause of decrease of iman would be being ignorant of the names of Allah and his sifat. And the second one, we said, would be being heedless, or even turning away from the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah in the creation and in the revelation. And the third one, doing acts of disobedience is one of the main causes of decrease of iman. And the fourth one we said is
abandoning acts of obedience,
and the iman is decreased more and more, yani, in consideration of the importance of that deed of obedience. Yani, the more stressed and more important or more obligatory is that deed, yani, the abandonment of it causes a greater decrease of iman. The last question, number seven, mentioned four considerations related to the naqs, or the decrease of iman due to committing ma'asiyah, sinful acts. Four considerations related to the decrease of iman from committing sins. So the first of them, he said, is any the type of sin. And the second one, he said, is the amount of sinning. Any the type of sin that a person commits is going to, right, cause more or less decrease of iman. The worse is the sin. And the amount of sinning, the more a person sins, the more decrease of iman. And then the last way he said is tahawun. Yani, that a person takes lightly, or considers unimportant that they are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the disobedience that comes from the heart of the person who is not concerned that he is disobeying Allah, and he has no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that disobedience from that heart is a greater cause of decrease of iman than the other person who may commit the same sin while having fear of Allah and being concerned about the fact that they are disobeying Allah even though they committed the sin. And the last thing that he said is, any of the last one he said, anybody remember? Yani the strength or the weakness of the call, the urge to commit the sin. Yani the weaker the urge to commit the sin, and a person commits it anyway, even though it's not a strong urge, the greater the cause of decrease of iman. As opposed to the person who has a strong urge, and they commit that sin, but because it's really pulling on them, not like the person who doesn't have an urge to sin. And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the old man committing zina, and the poor person who's proud and arrogant. Even though they have no reason. There's no reason for this person to be proud. There's no reason for this person to be committing zina in that age. So, and this is the summary of what we discussed last week. So, now, yani, we want to go to our new part, yani, the next section of the book. And we're going to be reading in the English translation from page 43, from the top of the page, hopefully until page 45, the top part of the page. In Arabic, we're going to be reading also from page 43 to 45, in the same page numbers somehow. So this particular section, yani, it has, yani, we have some commentary from Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Yani, because of the importance of what the Sheikh discusses here, we want to try to, yani, go over it in some detail and try to get the most benefit out of the, yani, all that. The author, rahimahullah, Imam Sa'adi, has summarized in these yani, few words that he has mentioned here. And he mentions there's a lot of meaning and a lot of importance to this, so we're going to try to slowly yani, take it little by little and not race through this section. So page 43, the author yani, has Al-Fasl Al-Thani. Yani, this is the second section of the book. It's entitled "Fi Dhikri Al-Umur Allati Yustamaddu Minha Al-Iman." Yani, the mention of the matters, the affairs from which iman is derived or drawn from. And what are the things that iman may be derived from? And he says, yani, rahimahullah, the author, he says, "Wahada faslun azim al-naf'i wal-haja." Yani, that this particular subject, this section, is a section that has a tremendous amount of benefit, and there's also a tremendous need for it. Then he says, بَلْ أَدْدُرُورُتُ مَاسَةٌ إِلَى مَعْرِفَتِهِ وَالْإِنَايَ بِهِ مَعْرِفَةً وَاتِّصَافًا. Rather, he said, more than that, it is of dire necessity that the people have knowledge of these affairs from which iman is derived, that the people have knowledge of it, and that they give the utmost care to it, al-inayabi, that they give attention and care to this, yani ma'rifatan wa tisafan, yani that they know about it, they have the knowledge of these affairs, and that they also act upon them such that they will be described with them. And that they act upon them, not just collecting information, but then knowing what are the affairs from which iman is derived, and acting upon those things so that you will be described with such. Then he says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ. And the reason why this is of such great importance, because الْإِيمَانِ هُوَ كَمَالُ الْعَبْدِ وَبِهِ تَرْتَفِعُ دَرَجَاتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And that is because iman is the means through which the perfection of the human being is achieved. And it is through iman that a person perfects their life in this world. وَبِهِ تَرْتَفِعُ دَرَجَاتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And it is through iman that a person's level, their daraja, their level, would be raised in this world as well as in the next life, due to iman. And then he says, وَهُوَ السَّبَبْ وَالطَّرِيقْ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ عَاجِلٍ وَعَاجِلٍ. And iman, it is the sabab, the cause, and it is, or the means, and it is the tariq, the way or the road, to every khayr, every good deed, now or later. Now or later, in this world or the next. وَلَا يَحْصُلْ وَلَا يَقْوَى وَلَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَةِ مَا مِنُّ يُسْتُمَدْ وَإِلَى يَنْبُوعِهِ وَأَسْبَابِهِ وَتُرُكِهِ. And then he says, and we're going to discuss this now, and then he says, and iman is not achieved, nor is it strengthened, nor is it completed or perfected, except by having knowledge of that from which it is derived. Except by having knowledge from where it is drawn. Where is it taken from? And knowing its source, and knowing its asbab, its means, and knowing its turuq, its ways, the ways to it. This first section, we're going to discuss a little bit here. With Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He says, in his commentary concerning these words of the author, he says that indeed this chapter or this section is of the greatest importance. It's very, very important. It is as the author, rahimahullah, has described it, يعني فصل عظيم النفع والحاجة. يعني it is a chapter or a section that is of tremendous, great benefit, and there's a tremendous need for it. Rather, there's dire necessity. It is a dire necessity that the people have knowledge of it and that they give care to it, knowing it and acting upon it. He says, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ مَعْرِفَةُ الْمُسْلِمِ بِالْأُمُورَ الَّتِي يُسْتَمَدَّ مِنْهَا الْإِيمَانِ وَاتِّصَافُهُ بِهَا أَمْرٌ تَمَسُّ حَاجَةٌ بَلْ ضَرُورَةٌ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ إِلَيْهِ لَا سِيَمَا مَا كَفْرَةِ الصَّوَارِفِ وَالشَّوَاغِلِ والملهيات التي تصرف المرء على الإيمان وحقائقه. يعني the Shaykh is saying here that there is no doubt that a Muslim having knowledge of these affairs, the things from which Iman is derived, and then being described with such, يعني with having acted upon those things, is a matter of great need. Rather, it is of a necessity to every Muslim, especially when we consider the amount of distractions and things that are turning the people today away from Iman and its realities, especially considering all the distractions that are around us. Yani, the television, the, internet, and so on and so forth. All the distractions that we have around us that are turning a person away from Al-Iman and from its realities. He said, فَمَا أَحْوَجَ الْمَرْءُ أَن يَتَعَرَّفَ عَلَى الْأُمُورُ الَّتِي يَسْتَمَدَّ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ التي تزيده وتقويه ليزداد إيمانا وليقوى إيمانه وليسلم من المعارضات يعني من الشبهات والشهوات فالحاجة إلى ذلك ماسة وضرورة إليه. يعني so the Shaykh is saying here that oh how great is the need for the abd, يعني for the person, the human being, the Muslim, to know about these affairs from which Iman is derived, so that his Iman may be increased, so that one's Iman may be strengthened, yani, and so that a person will be safe or saved from those things that oppose Iman, that is, the shubuhat and the shahwat. Yani, the things that oppose Iman, the shubuhat, the doubtful matters that cause a person to fall off, or the shahwat, the desires for things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us. And all of this is from that which, causes a person to lose their iman, or to have a decrease in iman, or weakening of iman. Yani, the need for this, rather, the necessity for it, is of the utmost importance. Then he says that the author, rahimahullah, says, fi bayan hajat al-mar'i إلى المعرفة بالأمور التي يستمد منها الإيمان والاتصاف بها يقول لأن الإيمان كمال العبد وبه ترتفع درجاته في الدنيا والآخرة. And he said that the author رحمه الله, in clarification of the great need to know about these affairs from which Iman is derived and to be described with it, the author says to show us the need for this and the importance of knowing these affairs, he said that is because Iman is the means of perfection of the human being. And it is through Iman that a person's level or their station or their status is raised in this world and in the next life. Then he says, حياة العبد في هذه الحياة الدنيا الحقيقية بالإيمان. يعني that the real life of the human being in this world, يعني is through إيمان. A person has real life if they have إيمان. Otherwise, the people who don't have إيمان, they are not really living. يعني they are walking on the earth. But real life is for the person who has إيمان. As far as the one who doesn't have إيمان, then the life of this person is no more than the life of the animals. No more than the life of the animals. The real life, it is by Iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. Yani, and as far as the one who was dead and then we gave him life. The scholars of Tafsir said, we gave him life, yani by Iman, by ilm and Iman. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is mentioning what? That there were people who were dead, who didn't have Iman. And Allah gave them life through knowledge and through Iman. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, 6 Surah 122nd Ayah. Yani, is this person, yani the rest of the ayah brings the meaning, that is this person who Allah gave life to by ilm and Iman, like the person who remains in darkness. Are they the same? They are not equal. This person has been given real life. That is the life that comes from Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah 24th Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, respond to, answer Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani, when He calls you to that which gives you life. When He calls you to Iman. To that which? This is in Surah 2, Anfal, 8th Surah. 8th Surah. 6th Surah. Oh, okay. An'am. 6th Surah. 122nd Ayat. So the Shaykh says, yani from these two examples, and there are many in the Quran, so the real life, al-hayat, al-haqiqiyya, innama hiya bil-iman. Real life is based upon Iman. The perfection of the human being, and his being raised and stationed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only through Iman. So these are two reasons, yani, that the perfection of the human being, the perfection of their life in this world is through Iman, and also their raising of their station in this world and the next is through Iman. And then he says, إِضَافَةً إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانُ هُوَ السَّبَبُ وَالطَّرِيقُ إِلَىٰ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. In addition to that, yani, al-Iman is the sabab, the cause or the reason or the means, and the tariqah, the way or the road to every good thing in this world and in the next life. And then he says, yani, that this, the author, rahimahullah, the author of the book, Al-Imam al-Sa'di, is going to bring another chapter, that's going to be the third portion of this book that we're going to come to after we finish this chapter. He said he brings another chapter which is also of great benefit, in which he mentions the fawaid of Iman, the benefits of Iman, and the fruits of Iman, thamarat of Iman. He mentions that, and he said that these benefits and these fruits, yani a person will have a portion of them in accordance with his portion of Iman. Yani the portion that a person will have of the benefits and the fruits, yani in this world and the next, will be in accordance with a person's level of Iman. So the more a person increases in Iman, the more, the greater portion they will have of the benefits and the fruits of Iman. And to the extent that a person's Iman is weak, the weaker is that person's Iman, the less will be their portion of the benefits and the fruits of Iman in this world and in the next. Then, yani going back to the book, on page 43, yani the bottom half of the page, the author, he says, rahimahullah, وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ جَعَلَ لِكُلِّ مَتْلُوبٍ سَبَبًا وَطَرِيقًا يُوصِلُ إِلَيْهِ. And Allah the Most High, He has made for everything that is requested or required, or yani things that people want, everything that a person would seek in this world, there's a sabab and there's a tariqah. There's a means to it, and there's a way or road to reach it. And Iman, أَعَظَمُ الْمَطَالِبُ وَهَمُّ وَعَمَّ. Yani, Iman being the greatest of all things that people seek, and the most important, and the most comprehensive of them, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the affairs or the material, yani the things which attract it and strengthen it. Allah has made for it those things that attract or the means to obtain and to strengthen, yani iman. And also, there are also asbab, tud'ifuhu wa tuwahhi. Yani, there are also asbab, which weaken iman, and, yani, take from its strength, cause it to, yani, lose its strength. So the Shaykh, he says here, Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah, he says that the author, rahimahullah, says, and Allah has made for everything that is sought a means and a way to achieve it. Yani, meaning everything that is sought, it must have a road or way or means that lead to it. And likewise, this is the case for the greatest of things that are sought, the most noble of things that are sought, and that is iman. It is of necessity that a person utilize the means to achieve it, and travel the road, and use the wasail, yani, through which one's iman can be strengthened. And in meaning that a person has to not just hope for iman to be strengthened, but if there are means for strengthening of iman, a person has to utilize them. If there is a road to the, yani, towards iman, achieving iman and strengthening it, a person has to travel that road. And then he says, after mentioning this, he says, then the author, rahimahullah, has made clear that the affairs which attract iman and strengthen iman and increase iman, they all go back to two types of affairs, two types of matters. Those affairs which are mujmala and those affairs which are mufassala. Yani, those affairs which are general and those affairs which are specific. So first, the author mentions, the Shaykh is saying, he mentions those matters ijmalan, in a general sense. And then he mentions them ala wajh tafsil, with details. And then he mentions them with details. So here, going back to the book, the author, rahimahullah, I think we're reading from Na'am, bottom of page 43 in Arabic. The author, rahimahullah, said that the things which attract iman and strengthen iman are two, mujmal wa mufassal. Yani, general affairs, and then there are specific affairs. As far as the general affairs, he says they are التدبر لآيات الله المتلوة من الكتاب والسنة. Yani, contemplation of the signs of Allah, yani آيات الله المتلوة, that which is, yani, recited, تلاوة, the آيات of Allah that are recited, yani, that are read from the book of Allah, the Quran, and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, contemplation on these آيات in the Quran and that which came in the Sunnah. And we know that the Quran, as well as the Sunnah, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, are both revelation. They are both revelation. The second thing he said, التأمل لآيات القونية, القونية على اختلاف أنواعها. That is, the reflection, the contemplation of the آيات القونية, yani the universal signs in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in consideration that there are many different types, yani, of the things that Allah has created in the universe, the moon, the stars, the sun, yani, the rivers, the trees, mountains, whatever, all types of things. Reflecting on these things, contemplating over the creation of Allah to see the greatness of Allah and His magnificence and His power and His wisdom. The third thing he said, الْحِرْصُ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي خُلِقَ لَهُ الْعَبْدِ, yani, being diligent and eager and feeling urgency to know the truth for which the human being has been created. And the last, the fourth thing he said, al-amal bil-haq, acting upon that truth. Yani, being diligent in seeking to know the truth and then acting upon it. And then he says, يعني the author him Allah, so all of these asbab, يعني جميع الأسباب, all asbab, all causes of iman, of strengthening iman, of increasing iman, they all go back to this great يعني أصل, this foundation. يعني knowing the truth and acting upon it. Knowing the truth and acting upon it. The Shaykh Abd al-Razzaq, حفظه الله, he says concerning this, هذا إجمالاً فيما تكون به زيادة الإيمان. يعني this is general, general idea of those things which are the causes, يعني through which iman is increased. يعني that a person gives care to the Book of Allah جل وعلا and the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم قراءة وفهما وعقلا للمعاني والدلالات عملا بكتاب الله وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني that a person gives care to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني in terms of reading it, understanding it, and comprehending intellectually, يعني the meanings and the indications that are contained in what a person reads in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and then acting upon the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then acting upon it. Here he says, and likewise, yani, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading it, understanding it, comprehending it, and acting upon it, he said also, yani, contemplation, reflection upon the ayat of Allah al-Kawniyah, yani, in the universe. Yani, these signs, brilliant, magnificent signs of the greatness and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things are witnesses, the signs in the creation, they are witnesses of the perfection of their creator and the greatness of the one who brought them into existence. Therefore, reflecting upon these things in the creation is a means of increase of iman for the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, 190th and 191st ayat, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. To the end of the ayat, yani that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day are signs for أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, the people who have understanding. And then he mentions that they are those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides, and they are reflecting, يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, reflecting upon the creation of the heavens and the earth and what it contains of the power and might and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he ends with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those, yani ulul albab, the people who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides and reflect on the creation of Allah, they say, indeed Allah, you have not created this batilan. Yani you didn't create all of this without a purpose, without an objective. Subhanaka faqina adhabinna, indeed you are the one free of imperfections. So save us from the punishment of the fire. The Shaykh, he says concerning this, كَذَلِكَ إِجْمَالًا مِمَّا يَزِيدُ الْإِيمَانِ, and likewise from the general things that increase iman is being diligent in knowing the truth for which the human being has been created and brought into existence for, and acting upon that truth. And then he says, and all of yani the causes of increase and strengthening of iman, all of them go back to this tremendous foundation. That is, knowing the truth and acting upon it. Here, yani we go to yani the next part of what the Shaykh is mentioning concerning the tafsil, yani the detailed matters of increase of iman. On page 44, near the top of the page, the author, he says, وَأَمَّا التَّفْصِيلِ فَالْإِيمَانِ يَحْسُلُ وَيَقْوَى بِأُمُورِ كَثِيرًا. As far as the details of the things through which or from which iman is derived and which strengthen iman and increase iman, there are many. And here he mentions the first of them. And the first of them is what we're going to try to cover today, in whatever time remains. He says, from the detailed matters from which iman is derived and strengthened and increased, number one, minha bal a'azamuha ma'rifatu asma'i Allahi al-husna al-waridati fil kitabi wa sunnah wal hirsu ala fahmi ma'aniha wa ta'abbudu lillahi fiha ubiha. Yani the first, and rather the greatest, the most important of the matters from which iman is derived, he said, is having knowledge of the beautiful names of Allah that have been mentioned, or yani which came to us in the book, yani the Quran and the Sunnah. Knowing the beautiful names of Allah that are narrated in the book and the Sunnah. والحرص على فهم معانيها, and being diligent and eager, and feeling yani a sense of urgency about understanding their meanings. Yani not like a person sees some of the names of Allah in the Quran as you're reading the Quran or in the Sunnah, and you are not concerned to understand, to know their meanings. But we just know that this is the name of Allah. Yani Allah is Al-Ali. Yani what does it mean? Yani we're just reading the names. But having a sense of urgency about understanding the meanings of those names. وَالتَّعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ فِيهَا وَبِيهَا. And then worshipping Allah, yani by means of these names, yani by knowing their meanings, understanding what they require from us or necessitate from us and how we act upon them. Worshipping Allah through this. Knowing the names of Allah, understanding their meanings, and then worshipping Allah by them. Yani like supplicating to Allah by these names. Like acting in a way of the person, like the person who understands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir, so he sees everything that we're doing. Acting like you know that Allah sees us. Worshipping Allah by these names. Then the shaykh, he says, فَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ عِثْمًا مِئَةً إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. It's confirmed in the two sahihs, yani from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, indeed, for Allah 99 names, 100 except one. Yani, whoever أحصاها will enter the Jannah. مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The shaykh explains what he means by أحصاها. He said, A, مَنْ حَفِظَهَا. Whoever memorized them, وَفَهِمَ مَآنِيَهَا, and understood their meanings, وَاعْتَقَدَهَا, and he believed in them, وَتَعَبَّدَ لِلَّهِ بِهَا, and he worshipped Allah by means of yani what he knows from these names, and what he understands from them, and what yani they necessitate. This person will enter the Jannah. And then the author, rahimahullah, says, وَالْجَنَّةُ لا يدخلها إلا المؤمنون, as it came in an authentic hadith, and the Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions something from that. So yani this hadith is an indication of the importance of knowing the names of Allah, but not just writing them down or recording them or reciting them, but understanding their meanings, believing in what they mean, and then worshipping Allah by means of them. Whoever does so will enter the Jannah, and no one will enter the Jannah except the people of Iman. Then the author says, فَعُلِنَا, yani from this hadith we came to know, أَنَّ ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمْ يَنْبُوعٍ وَمَادَةٍ لِحُصُولَ الْإِيمَانِ وَقُوَّتِهِ وَثَبَاتِهِ. From this we know that the greatest source, well or spring, the greatest yani material through which iman is achieved and it is strengthened and it is confirmed, yani it is knowing the beautiful names of Allah. It is knowing the beautiful names of Allah. And then he said, knowing the beautiful names of Allah is the asl of iman. It is the foundation of iman. And al-iman yarji'u ilayha. And iman goes back to yani this foundation, that is yani knowing, understanding, and acting upon the beautiful names of Allah. Then the author, he says, معرفتها تتضمن أنواع التوحيد الثلاثة. يعني knowing the names of Allah is inclusive of or points to, يعني if not directly, indirectly, the three types of tawheed or the three divisions of tawheed. Yani knowing, the person who has knowledge of the names of Allah, then that knowledge is inclusive of the three types of tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyya, or tawheed al-Uluhiyya or Ilahiyya, or tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. وهذه الأنواع هي روح الإيمان وروحه وأصله وغايته. فكل ما ازداد العبد معرفة بأسماء الله وصفاته ازداد إيمانه وقوي يقينه. So he said that within the knowledge of the Asma of Allah, يعني it is inclusive of, points to, يعني the three types of tawheed, tawheed al-rububiyya, يعني related to Allah's يعني lordship, that he is the Rabb of everything, the creator, the owner, the provider, the one who gives life and death and so on, and tawheed al-ilahiyya, sometimes referred to as tawheed al-uluhiyya or tawheed al-ubudiyya. All of this is the same, the tawheed that's related to the divinity of Allah and that he alone deserves worship. And tawheed al-asma wa sifat, that is the tawheed yani that relates to singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the most beautiful names and the most perfect and lofty characteristics. These aspects of tawheed, al-rububiyya wal-ilahiyya wal-asma wa sifat, they are the soul of iman and the thing that refreshes a person's iman. They are the origin or the foundation of iman and the goal of iman. The more a person increases in knowing the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah, the more that person will be increased in his iman and the more yani his yaqeen will be strengthened. Then the author rahimahullah says, and this is the last paragraph that we're going to read from here today, yani from the first point, the most important of the means of iman, of achieving iman and strengthening it and increasing it. He says, so it is incumbent upon the believer أن يبذل مقدوره ومستطاعه في معرفة الأسماء والصفات. يعني it is incumbent, it is befitting of a believer, a person who has iman, to exert their ability, whatever ability that they have, يعني in coming to know the names and the characteristics or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that this knowledge of the names of Allah and His sifat, that they should be salimatan min da'i at-ta'til wa da'i at-tamthil. That it should be free of and safe from yani the sickness or the disease of at-ta'til, yani emptying Allah's names and sifat of their meaning denying them in any type of way, however it might be, and the sickness or the disease of tamthil, making examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the creation. Yani making comparison by examples, comparison between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation. And these are the two diseases, ta'atil wa tamthil, which many of the people of innovation, the people who oppose that which came to us through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have been afflicted with. They have been afflicted. He said so that a person, the knowledge of the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah, should be free from these diseases, these deviations. In fact, he said that this ma'rifah of the names of Allah and His sifat should be taken from the book and the sunnah, should be derived from the Qur'an and the sunnah. وَمَا رُوِيَ عَنِ السَّحَابَةِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ لَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Yani it should be taken from the book and the sunnah and that which has come to us, has been narrated to us from the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the tabi'een, yani those who, the next generation who came after them and followed in their way. So this is the yani ma'rifah an-nafiyah, this yani type of ma'rifah, knowledge of the asma of Allah and the sifat derived from the Quran and Sunnah from the generation, the early generation of the Muslims, sahaba and tabi'een. He said this is the ma'rifah, the knowledge that is beneficial, and it is the knowledge through which the one who has it will continue to have an increase in that person's iman and strengthening of their yaqeen and being at peace in all of their affairs, in every situation or circumstance. Now the Shaykh has a very extremely lengthy commentary concerning what remains of this first point. So I'm going to read as much of it as is possible. Yani concerning the statement of the author, rahimahullah, yani as far as the details of the things which are, yani through which iman is derived, or which iman is strengthened and increased, he said there are many. And the most important of them is knowing the names of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah that have been narrated in the Quran and the Sunnah, and then being diligent in seeking to understand them and in worshipping Allah through them. The commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafizullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, this is the first cause or means from the means through which iman is increased and strengthened. This is the first of them. That is, knowing the beautiful names of Allah that have been narrated in the book and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is the book and the sunnah that knowledge of the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah have to be derived from. Whoever wants to have knowledge of the names of Allah have to go back to the book and the sunnah. So this subject of asma wa sifat, it is babun tawqifi. Yani it is a subject that is tawqifi. Meaning that it relies upon and it stops at what came in the book and the sunnah. Yani it's based upon revelation. Tawqifi means that we don't have any room in it for using the intellect. Yani making ijtihad, trying to come to conclusions. Rather we stop at and we base it upon what came in the book and in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, نَصِفُ اللَّهَ بِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَبِمَا وَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا نَتَجَاوَزُ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَدِيثِ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحَدِيثِ Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said that we describe Allah with what He described Himself with. We describe Allah with what He described Himself with. And with what His Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ described Him with. And we do not go beyond the Qur'an and the Hadith. So giving care to the beautiful names of Allah, the great names of Allah that have been narrated in the Quran and the Sunnah, requires memorizing them, understanding them, and then actualizing, yani acting upon the worship that is required by them. Yani, once we know the name and we understand its meaning, then we must worship Allah. There's a worship that's required by every name of Allah. Yani, what it requires of us. What does it require of us? Acting upon that and worshipping Allah by those names. From the greatest of affairs that increase iman, he said, here the author narrates, yani that which supports the fact that this is from the greatest of affairs, yani that which came in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed has 99 names, yani whoever ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. And Jannah, yani no one will enter it, yani except through iman. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith recorded by al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, la yadkhulu al-jannata illa nafsun mu'mina. In some of the narrations, illa nafsun muslima. Yani no one will enter Jannah except a believer, except a Muslim. Jannah will not be entered except by iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted in this hadith, or he yani considered in this hadith, ihsa asma ila al-husna sabilan. Yani he considered the ihsa of the name, the beautiful names of Allah, as a means, a way that leads the person into Jannah. Yani ihsa, the names of Allah, is a means or a way that leads the person who has it into Jannah. When he said, من أحصاها دخل الجنة. Whoever أحصاها will enter the Jannah. And here the author, the Shaykh says, the author brought to our attention an important point. The ihsa of the asma of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is not simply by counting them. Like a person has a string of dhikr deeds and they count the names of Allah upon them. Or they have it written on a book or on a piece of paper. Just counting them, just reading them out, this is not what is intended by ihsa. It is not, yani, simply reciting the names. Because some of the people, maybe they have taken this as a practice to recite the names in the morning or in the evening. And this has not been, yani, it has not been legislated for us in the Sharia. It is not simply counting them. Yani, the ihsa of the names of Allah, that is the means through which a person achieves this tremendous reward of entering Jannah, it is based upon three affairs. The first of them is memorizing them. Memorizing these names and knowing them name by name, one by one, as they came to us in the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Knowing the names of Allah, each one of them, yani being able to verify that it's from the names of Allah based on what came in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So the first of it is memorizing, knowing and memorizing those names, each one of them, based upon the confirmation or the affirmation that is from the names of Allah, yani from the Quran or from the Sunnah. The second matter, he said, is understanding their meanings, yani understanding the meanings of these names. And here, the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah, yani, has brought to our attention a very important matter, and that is that understanding, هذا الفهم وهذه المعرفة, must be free from تعتيل, from the sickness of تعتيل and the sickness of تمثيل. And these are two sicknesses that are extremely dangerous, that many of the people have fallen into, especially the deviant groups, the people who strayed from the straight path. Yani the sickness of تعتيل, that is a nafi, yani negating the names of Allah, the sifat of Allah. No matter if it's total negation or partial negation, yani negating some of them or negating all of them. Yani that a person negates all of the names of Allah and all of the sifat of Allah, or they negate just some of them. It is not permissible to negate even one name from the names of Allah that's confirmed in Quran and Sunnah, nor even one characteristic or quality, sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's confirmed in the Quran or Sunnah. Rather, what is obligatory upon us is ithbatuha, yani affirmation, confirmation of all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of Allah, in a way that is befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory and His perfection. And also he warned us against the sickness of a tamthil, yani making examples to compare Allah to something in the creation. Yani Allah is like, for example, such and such and so and so. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like Him, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing, Allah hears and He sees, but His hearing and His seeing is not like the hearing or the seeing of anything in the creation. The Shaykh, he says also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th Ayah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know that He has a Samiyan? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, He doesn't have any Samiyan, yani anything, anyone that is similar to Him or equal to Him or like Him. And by the way, this particular ayah, if you go back and check it, yani if you look at it and read some of the tafsirs of the people of Sunnah, you see that in this one ayat from Surah Maryam 1965 is the affirmation in the text of this ayat of all of the three divisions of a tawheed, rububiyyah wal uluhiyyah, as well as asma wa sifat. So the confirmation of the names of Allah and understanding their meanings with correct understanding upon the tariqah which the companions of the Prophet ﷺ was upon the way that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ was upon, and the way of those who followed them in goodness. That is, accepting the textual verifications of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just as they are, believing in them just as they were narrated, without making any ya'ani tahrif, yani distorting their meanings, or ta'atil, negating their meanings, and without takyif, trying to ask or to explain how they are, and without tamthil, making examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, confirming the names of Allah just as they are, just as they came in the sifat of Allah, without any kind of distortion or negation. As far as the people who fell into the roads or the ways of deviation, yani distorting the names and sifat of Allah, or denying them, or explaining how they are, or giving examples for them, then this deviation distanced them from Iman. Yani this type of deviation doesn't increase Iman, but it distanced them from iman. Rather, there is no iman, and iman is not built except upon having correct knowledge of the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. The third matter, he said, yani, meaning after knowing the names of Allah and understanding their meanings, the third matter, he says, is تحقق العبودية التي تقتضيها كل اسم من أسماء الله وكل صفة من صفاته. Yani, that is the actualization or the realization of the worship that each name and each characteristic of Allah requires, necessitates. The worship that they necessitate. Yani, the action that it requires of us when we know and understand the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. There's no name, the Shaykh said, that for Allah, and there's no sifa, characteristic or description or quality from the sifat of Allah, illa walahu ubudiyya, except that it has a worship that it requires, that is necessitated when you have iman in that name. Yani, that became obligatory upon you if you have iman in that name. Every name from the names of Allah, yani, has the worship that it requires from you when you know and understand its meanings. He said, let me give you an example here that will make clear this affair. Yani, the realization of the worship that's required by the names of Allah. A person memorizes that from the names of Allah, for example, Tabarak wa Ta'ala is As-Sami'a, yani the all-hearing. He understands what that name points to, the meanings that it indicates. And then he confirms hearing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sifa. Yani, that hearing is a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, in a manner, understanding it, yani, the confirmation of hearing, in a manner that's befitting of the majesty of Allah and the perfection of Allah and the greatness and glory of Allah. Meaning that confirming hearing for Allah, not like the hearing of the creatures, whose hearing is imperfect and defective. Confirming hearing for Allah in the way that is befitting of His greatness and His glory and His magnificence. And we're coming to the end of the hour. The Shaykh says, and this is the example we're going to close with, I mean, he gives a lengthy discussion concerning this example, but it's important to understand what we mean by يعني تحقيق العبودية. How do we actualize, realize the worship that's required by the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah? The Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadila, 58th Surah, first ayat, قَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَقِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَجَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ تَهَاوَرَكُمَا. نعم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the statement or the saying of the one who is pleading with you concerning her husband. Yani, the lady who was married to a man for a long time, and they were elder and they had children, and he divorced her, yani, in a way that it's, yani, they can't return. So she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking, yani, at that time what was understood from this is that khalas, the divorce is permanent. She went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pleading her case and complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says that Allah hears this discussion, this dialogue that's taking place between them. Indeed, Allah is Sami'un Basirun. Allah is the one who hears and the one who sees. The Shaykh says, so this hearing, this name of Allah, Sami' as-Sami', and this sifa, yani, of hearing, Sama', the believer, when he knows this and he understands this meaning, he believes in it by confirming hearing as a sifa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a way that's befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory and His perfection. And that also, Allah has a hearing that is vast, that is inclusive of every yani sound. Allah hears everything. And that even, the Shaykh said, that if the creatures from jinn and human beings, the first of them and the last of them, yani, were to stand up in one place and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone at one moment, speaking, asking for whatever is their need in their language, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hear all of them without there being any confusion of one voice from another, or one language from another, or one need from another. Yani this is the hearing that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah revealed this noble ayat, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهِ, yani that Allah hears, yani the saying of the lady who's pleading with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complaining to Allah about her condition, Umul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي وَصِيَ سَمْعُهُ الْأَسْوَاءِ. Yani perfect is Allah, the one who his hearing, yani he hears everything, every voice, every sound, everything that is said. So the believer believes in that, and then he actualizes, realizes the worship that is required by this name. And this, yani worship that's required by the name, includes many affairs. From the greatest of them, yani in reference to this particular name, As-Sami', is that a person guards their tongue from speech that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram or prohibited them from. And this is because every speech that the person speaks with, the Rabbul Alameen, the Khaliq of this universe, he hears it all. And then the Shaykh makes a comparison here that we should think about, yani from our lives. If a person was sitting in some of the places of gathering, in which there are some people that has a high station or status with them, that they have respect for, that person will be careful of the kind of language that they will use. And they will give care to using good speech. So what is obligatory in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, our Creator? What is obligatory is to have a greater respect than that, yani for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that a person avoid using evil, filthy, foul speech, or every type of speech that is unbecoming, while a person is conscious and aware that Allah is hearing their speech. Likewise, from the ubudiyyah, yani that is required by this name of Allah, is that a person increase in the dhikr of Allah and the recitation of the speech of Allah. Yani that a person increase in a tasbih, saying subhanallah, a tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah, a tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, a takbir, saying Allahu Akbar. And it came in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahabbu al-kalam ilallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And it's the most beloved speech to Allah. And if a person knows what Allah loves, the speech that Allah loves, then they should be constantly engaged in that speech. The most beloved of speech to Allah is to say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So that a person also increases in the recitation of the Quran. That a person also increases in the recitation of the Quran. So in this way, a person actualizes, realizes the worship, yani, that is connected to the tongue. Yani, that a person guard their tongue from those things that Allah is displeased with, and that they utilize it, engage it in that which is pleasing to Allah. وَهَكَذَا شَعَنْ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَصِفَاتِ. And this is the same way that it should be for every name of Allah, and every characteristic of Allah, that when we know it and we know its meaning, then we act in a way that's befitting, yani as a means of earning the pleasure of Allah and nearness to Him. And then we're going to close with this statement. Yani the Shaykh says, so, a person memorizes the name of Allah, and he believes in that which it indicates, the meanings of it, and the confirmed characteristic that is derived from it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that, for example, Allah is As-Sami', that's His name, and from it is a sifa that is confirmed for Allah, As-Sam, hearing. So a person believes in this, and believes in what it means, and he confirms it as a name and as a sifa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said in the third matter, yani he's going back a little bit to the third matter, that is realizing the ubudiyyah, the worship that is required, by having iman in any of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that after memorizing those names and understanding their meaning, then we act upon them. The Shaykh says, this is how we should act. As far as a person having a piece of paper, yani in terms of the names of Allah, yani من أحصاها دخل الجنة. As far as a person having a piece of paper which has 99 names of Allah written upon them, and he reads this, and he's simply reading it without understanding the meanings and without actualizing, realizing, acting upon the worship that it requires, that is indicated by that name, then this will not be one who has realized the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, من أحصاها. They have not done that which the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning in this hadith, through which a person will enter the Jannah. The ihsa of the names of Allah is by memorizing them, understanding their meanings, and then acting upon what is required of those names of worship. And this type of ma'arifa, in this particular manner, knowing the meanings, understanding them, and acting upon them, the more a person has of this, the more the iman will be increased. And he said, it has been said, قَدِيمًا مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ. The person who is most knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. This person will be the one who has the most fear of Allah. وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ. And he will be the one who is most desirous of seeking the worship of Allah, the one who knows him best. وَعَنْ مَعَسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. And he will be the person who is furthest from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who knows Allah the best, this person will be the one who has most fear of Allah. And this will be the person who seeks most the worship of Allah. And this will be the person who will be furthest from disobedience of Allah. And the shaykh closes with this ayah, from Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 28th ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Indeed, the ones who have the fear of Allah from amongst his ibad are the ulama, the people who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of what we wanted to say today. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us to become diligent if we haven't been, or to be more diligent if we have been, in seeking to know the names of Allah and to understand their meanings and what they point to and what they require of us in terms of our action and our behavior, our manners and our morals, and our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us success in doing that which is pleasing to Him, and keep us away from that which is displeasing to Him. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.